Folks, we're a little less than $67,000 short of making budget this year. Please consider making a year-end tax-deductible gift to support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. No gift is too small, and for any sized year-end donation, we'll send you a CD of one of my Christmas and Baptism of Jesus sermons. You can make a secure online contribution at issuesetc.org. You can also make a year-end tax-deductible gift by check. Make your check payable to Lutheran Public Radio and send it to LPR, Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. LPR, Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Thanks for listening, and thanks for helping us make budget in the next 5 weeks.
I don't see how the party that says it's the party of the family is going to adopt an immigration policy which destroys families that have been here a quarter century.
This is the epiphany moment. This is the road to Damascus moment for Republicans and conservatives. Newt Gingrich can possibly provide fodder for that epiphany or for that collective corporate epiphany on behalf of Republicans and conservatives.
I'm proud to say that I managed to get a doctorate in economics, get tenured at a major university, write 2 books, raise 2 children, 8 foster children, and I have never read a single issue of Ms. Magazine.
If there's no teaching that man is utterly corrupt and deserving God's wrath, then there's certainly no room for the gospel.
Duluth, Minnesota letter carriers love Issues Etc.
A new church year begins, and with the beginning of a new church year, all those themes, all those reminders, those pointers, those signs that point our eyes to the cross are again reoriented. Not that they weren't at the end of the church year, but it's a way to start over again, eyes fixed on Christ and his cross. That's kind of the theme of the sermon that we're going to be reviewing here in the first half hour of Issues Etc., an Advent sermon preached yesterday, first Sunday in Advent, by Pastor James Douthwaite of St. Athanasius Lutheran Church in Vienna, Virginia. A sermon review to kick things off on this Monday afternoon, the 28th of November. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues Etc., and thanks for tuning us in. A little bit later in this hour, Deaconess Pam Nielsen will join us. We'll talk about the birth of John the Baptist, foretold in Luke chapter 1, the first verses in there. In the second hour of the program, we will conclude a 3-part weekly series reviewing Joel Osteen's new book, Every Day of Friday. Pastor Brian Wolf Miller will be our guest from Hope Lutheran Church in Aurora, Colorado, to round that one off. You can join us for the next 2 hours of the program, 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-MYIE. Send us an email, talkback at issuesetc.org, or a tweet at issuesetc. Now, we review good, bad, and ugly. Today, good, but we always use the same diagnostic, the same criteria for reviewing sermons here on Issues Etc. It's 3 simple parts. You don't necessarily have to use all 3 parts, depending on how bad the sermon might be. And it's based upon Jesus' own standard, that repentance and forgiveness of sin should be preached in his name to all the world until he comes again, a standard that was taken up by the apostles. We were determined to know nothing among you except Christ and him crucified, and practiced by Jesus himself. So, preachers today have to abide by the same standard, if you will. First, is Jesus mentioned? It's a simple running tally of how often the preacher mentions Jesus explicitly. Now, if he only mentions Jesus once, then that's honorable mention. But you're pretty much done with the sermon there, aren't you? Jesus gets honorable mention. Keep a simple running tally, and if the preacher actually mentions Jesus, if he's all over the sermon, then you can go on to part number 2. That is Jesus running the verbs? Is Jesus the one driving the verbs? Is he the subject of the verbs rather than the object of verbs that you are the subject of? And this tells you whether or not Jesus, you're being told about what Jesus does, has done, will do for you. And then, if Jesus is mentioned and he is the subject of the verbs, you can go on to part 3, and that is, what are the verbs? What is the preacher telling you that Jesus has done, is doing, will do for you? Are they the biblical verbs that the Bible uses for Jesus that keeps us squarely focused on Jesus' perfect life, death, and resurrection for us, or are they the verbs of psychology today? Now, the sermon text is Mark's account of Jesus' triumphal entry into Jerusalem, the first 11 verses of that chapter on Palm Sunday, but it's also for the first Sunday in Advent, and we'll find out right away why that is.
Last Sunday, we heard in the Holy Gospel that when the Son of Man comes in His glory and all the angels with Him, then He will sit on His glorious throne. And we considered seeing Jesus on that throne, that glorious throne at the end of time. Today's Holy Gospel would seem to be quite different than that. And indeed, it is. And yet, there is a connection. For there is a throne of sorts that Jesus is sitting on today as well. Today, He is on a colt, a young donkey. No one, we are told, has ever sat upon this throne before, and it is quite the opposite of glorious. Glorious would be to ride into Jerusalem on a swift, beautiful, powerful horse of war, not a young, awkward, humble beast of burden. But what honor is given this lowly donkey with no glory of its own? He is given the glory and honor of carrying on his back the Lord of all creation. Yet as different as these two thrones may be, there is yet still another throne upon which our Lord will be placed. A throne that actually includes and connects these first two. A throne that the other two thrones point to and come from. A throne that is both glorious and humble. That is both powerful and weak. Both exalting and humiliating. It is the throne of the cross. That is the throne Jesus is entering Jerusalem on that donkey to ascend. And it is the throne through which He will reign forever. And so today, on the first Sunday of Advent, we begin a new church year by focusing on the cross. For the cross is the center of Jesus' story. It is the center of your story. It is the center of history. Without the cross, the birth of Jesus is simply an interesting historical fact. Without the cross, the return of our Lord at the end of time would mean condemnation for us all. But with the cross, all is changed. With the cross, a Savior is born. And a Savior is coming again. And so there is simply no better way to prepare to celebrate the birth of our Savior than by looking at the cross. And there is simply no better way to prepare for our Savior's return at the end of time than by looking at the cross. And so the reading today from Mark. Jesus entering Jerusalem, not just to celebrate the Passover like all the other pilgrims entering Jerusalem that day, but to be the Passover, to be the once and for all Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, to be the Lamb whose blood painted on the wood of the cross would rescue the world from death and provide for us the forgiveness of sins and the promise of eternal life. And so when we prayed earlier, "Stir up your power, O Lord, and come, that by your protection we may be rescued from the threatening perils of our sins and be saved by your mighty deliverance. You should hear there in those words both the past and the future. The past, for when our Lord first stirred up his power and came, it was in the birth that we will remember in a few weeks, being born as a man to go to the cross for our sins. But it is also about the future, that our Lord would stir up his power and come again, this time not in a humble birth, but in his great might and glory, and finally and fully give us the deliverance from sin and the home in heaven that we long for. That we long for. For you do, don't you? Long for deliverance from your sins? Long for deliverance from their threatening perils? That's the problem, isn't it? We've grown too comfortable in this world. We've grown too comfortable with our sins. We've grown too comfortable with the way things are. And so we don't see the threatening perils of our sins. And that is a dangerous place to be.
And when we come back, we'll continue this sermon. We'll find out exactly what he means by that. We're listening to an Advent, a first Sunday in Advent sermon preached yesterday by Pastor James Douthwaite of St. Athanasius Lutheran Church in Vienna, Virginia. It's Monday afternoon here on Issues Etc., a little sermon review, November the 28th. When we come back, we'll review the rest of the sermon. Stay tuned.
Salvation, how he lived and how he died for me on the cross. Hey, preacher man, give me the gospel. Give me the good news of God's only son. Hey, preacher man, give me the gospel. Give me his body. Give me his blood.
We know that you want to build your family on the right foundation from the very start. The foundation of Jesus Christ. Concordia Publishing House offers more than 8,000 products for churches, schools, and homes, dedicated customer service, and an experienced staff to help you focus on what matters most. Click to connect at cph.org. Concordia Publishing House. Listening, responding, providing for God's people. Concordia Publishing House. cph.org.
Would you like to share something you've heard on Issues Etc. via email, Facebook, Twitter, or text message? We've made it easy for you. Just go to the Listen On Demand page of our website, issuesetc.org, and click Share This. You'll find almost 50 ways to share Issues Etc. audio. We love our on-demand listeners. Old Theology, New Technology, issuesetc.org. Go to the Listen On Demand page and click Share This.
Old Theology, New Technology. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Thanks for sending us your email. Having produced Issues Etc. for more than 15 years, I can tell you that we've never received email response like this. Unfortunately, we simply can't reply to all of your email. So here's a way that I can almost guarantee a response to your question or comment. Call the Issues Etc. comment line, 618-223-8384. It's available for your questions or comments 24/7, 618-223-8384.
Right now, many churches are planning their budgets for the next fiscal year. Your church can support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. by joining the Issues Etc. 300. We're looking for 300 congregations to include $1,000 in their mission or advertising budgets. Find out more about the Issues Etc. 300 on the support page of our website, issuesetc.org. Don't miss your congregation's budget deadline. Download the flyer and present it to your congregation today. Looking at a sermon on this I guess we could call this the first Monday in Advent, after the first Sunday in Advent, preached by Pastor James Douthwaite of St. Athanasius Lutheran Church in Vienna, Virginia. So far, he's telling us how dangerous it is for us to underestimate the peril of our sins. Let's pick up where we left off.
First of all, because it ignores the wrath and anger of God over sin, as Isaiah proclaimed. His wrath that is like fire that kindles brushwood, or fire that causes water to boil. And to risk making the greatest understatement of all time, that should concern you. And second, just because you may not see the danger doesn't mean it's not there. In fact, that makes it all the more dangerous. For it can come upon us before we know it. Perhaps the best example of that might be a flash flood. We've gotten lots of warnings about those in the past few months. The thing about flash floods is that you can't often see them coming until it's too late. And if you do see it coming, it seems so harmless. That little bit of water running over the road doesn't look like much until you step or drive into the flow and get swept away. And then you realize the force, the strength, and the danger. That's why flash floods often take lives. And so it is with the sin in our lives. We don't recognize the danger. Perhaps you think your sin harmless, like just that little bit of water passing over the road. It's not really that bad. God understands. And nobody's really getting hurt. You can stop anytime you want, right? Don't be fooled. Those little white lies are neither little nor white, are they? And oh, how often they escalate into bigger deceptions and secrets. Little indulgences become big addictions before you know it. Quick words now soon become the mushroom clouds of fighting and division. Envy grows into bitterness, which grows into hatred. That anger that you won't let go of robs you of joy and makes you resentful. And when you love your sin, it starves those around you of the love they need, the love you should be giving them. And in all these ways, and a thousand more, how easy it is to get caught up in the current and swept away. Yes, even to spiritual death. For sin damages and kills faith, and incurs a wrath of God that, as Isaiah ominously warned us, makes even mountains shake. Our sins, no matter how small they may seem, truly are threatening and perilous. And so Advent calls us to repentance and prayer. To repent of our sin and our cavalier attitude towards sin. And to pray to our Father in heaven for the help and deliverance we need. That before he comes again in glory at the end of time, first stir up your power, O Lord, and come now. That by your protection we may be rescued from the threatening perils of our sins. And saved by your mighty deliverance. And thanks be to God, our Lord did come and does now come to do this very thing. For after he ascended the cross to be the sacrifice for your sin and the sin of the world, Jesus then sent his Spirit to give that deliverance to us. First, by revealing our sin and its depth and danger, and then by revealing our Savior. That as we look to the cross, we see the greatest mercy and love in the history of the world. As Jesus hangs there, not in weakness, but in might, delivering us from the threatening perils of our sins. The threatening peril that he endured there as he hung in your place, as he hung in my place, on that throne of our making. But even as the torrent of sin swept away his life, the torrent of his blood that flows from the cross now sweeps away not us, but our sin. The torrent of his blood that washes away sin in holy baptism. The torrent of his blood that washes us clean in absolution. The torrent of his blood that fills the chalice of his supper. That through these means, where Jesus is coming to us now, not in weakness, but in might, we are being delivered from the threatening perils of our sins through the power of his forgiveness and the promise of eternal life. And so in the manger and on the cross, in the font and on the altar, and in the preaching of his word, we see the answer to Isaiah's prayer. Oh, that you would rend the heavens and come down. Our Lord is coming down now, strong to save. Our Lord is coming down now that we repent. Our Lord is coming down now, not to sweep you away, but to sweep you up in his forgiveness and love and life. To restore to us what we lost in sin. To give us again the joy of his salvation. That's the joy that St. Paul was speaking of also when he wrote to the Corinthians. He didn't use the word joy there, but his words are full of joy. The joy of Christ and his promises, the joy of his Spirit and his gifts, the joy of waiting for the revealing of our Lord Jesus Christ. The revealing. Which means that he's here now, just hidden. But the day is coming when what is now hidden will be revealed for all to see. That Jesus has been answering our prayer, our Advent prayer, rending the heavens and coming down to rescue and deliver us all along. And so he is keeping you. You're not on your own. He is here. For he who rode into Jerusalem that day on the throne of a donkey to ascend the throne of a cross is enthroned now here in bread and wine. And so we join the crowds in their song, in our liturgy, and sing as they sang, Hosanna, blessed is he who cometh in the name of the Lord. For he is coming, just as really and truly as that day in Jerusalem. Yes, coming for you. And he won't stop until he comes again visibly on that last day. When the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, sitting on his glorious throne. And he takes you to be with him in his glory forever. Until that day, we pray, Savior of the nations, come. Come in mercy. Come in grace. Come in love. Come with life. Come with forgiveness. Come with salvation. Come in peace. Come in might. Come in lowliness. Come to us and make us your own. That is our Advent prayer. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. That's a good way to begin Advent, don't you think? Eyes firmly fixed on the cross. Now, see, you don't have to violate anything about the season that you're celebrating or the one that is coming. We can look through the manger to the cross. That's certainly where the season of Advent directs our eyes. A sermon preached yesterday by Pastor James Douthwaite of St. Athanasius Lutheran Church in Vienna, Virginia, passes the diagnostic with flying colors. Jesus is all over the sermon. He's the subject of the verbs, and they're just the right verbs, not only for Advent, but for all year round. A Jesus who takes his throne and reigns from the cross, who reigns as the suffering and lowly servant of all, the Savior of the nations. Yeah, that's good. That's not just for Advent. That's for all year round. Now, when we come back, Deaconess Pam Nielsen will be joining us. We're going to be teaching a Sunday school lesson today, sticking with the readings appointed for this season, the birth of John the Baptist foretold in Luke chapter 1. Deaconess Pam Nielsen of Witness Mercy Life Together, right after this. Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300. Emmanuel Lutheran, Alexandria, Virginia. Bethel Lutheran, Ballinger, Texas. Mount Calvary Lutheran, Eola, Texas. Beautiful Savior Lutheran, Bridgeton, Missouri. Christ Our King Community Lutheran, Costa Mesa, California. Lord of Life Lutheran, Plano, Texas. Christ Lutheran, Platte Woods, Missouri. Hope Lutheran, Sonora, Texas. Faith Lutheran, Azona, Texas. And Emmanuel Lutheran, Steger, Illinois. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Just go to our website, issuesetc.org, and click support. When your congregation joins the Issues Etc. 300, we'll advertise your congregation on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. journal. issuesetc.org, click support. The Issues Etc. 300.
Others talk. We have something to say. You're listening to Issues Etc.
This is Life Issues with Brad Mattis, Executive Director of Life Issues Institute.
Geron Corporation, long known as the big bad boy of embryonic stem cell research, has put on the brakes. It was conducting the first government-approved study using stem cells cannibalized from human embryos. Geron abruptly announced it would end the research and lay off over one-third of their workforce. They said it was a business decision and will instead concentrate on two cancer drugs. Advocates of killing human embryos for unproven science are angry, and they say they've been treated like lab rats. I think it's telling one of embryonic stem cells' biggest cheerleaders is abandoning ship. Adult stem cells are giving us many treatments and cures without killing innocent human life. Seems like another ethically challenged corporation finally realizes there's no money in embryonic cells.
Check out Life Issues on Facebook and stay more informed than you've ever been.